I'm going to tell you, until you release that, until you release that and get rid of that spirit that says, somebody owes me, God owes me, until you release that, you will live in bondage. God doesn't owe you anything. God doesn't owe me anything. It's amazing how many people, in the very depth and the recesses of their hearts, hold bitterness toward God. Because we've lost a loved one. Because we've lost a family member. Because we've lost something. We said something was taken from us. And we get bitter and we get angry and we harbor it. And on the surface we say, no, I'm okay. And we smile and we say, I'm okay. And you say, how are you? And you say, oh, I'm okay. God is good. But he owes me. Down deep in our heart, you're not through with it. You're not healed of it. And it's a bondage. And every time you get three steps forward with God, all of a sudden the devil comes to you and he says, listen, amen, if God really loved you, he wouldn't have let that happen. If God really loved you, he wouldn't have let you lose the person you love the most in this world. If God really loved you, he wouldn't have let you have fallen like you failed and go back into sin like you did and get addicted to drugs or addicted to alcohol or addicted to pain medicine. He wouldn't have allowed that. Amen. If he really loved you. How many know the devil's a liar, the father of all lies? I said he's a liar and the father of all lies. Amen. The only reason you and I are on this planet anyway is that God loves us. The only reason we wake up in the morning is because he loves us. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing, absolutely nothing, according to the scripture. It's time to let God off the hook. I said it's time to let God off the hook. Until you get rid of that anger in your heart and in your spirit, it will keep you in bondage. There's people still living with anger. There's people still living in anger over something they lost. How many know that life is full of losses? Happens to all of us. I lost my mother. I lost my father. I lost, at 22 years of age, I lost my nephew. My brother lost his only son. Yes, we lose constantly. I lost a best friend at the age of 30 years old. I lost my best friend. You've suffered losses. We all have. Listen, we've got to understand, amen, that is life. It is not God taking something away. We need a correct understanding of death. The Bible says it is appointed that a man wants to die and then the judgment. Amen. Once we come on this planet, we start dying. Amen. We start dying. Some die earlier because of sickness and disease. But at the end of the day, we're all dying. You understand? You understand? The process of death works in every flesh, every human flesh. But thank God that we've been given eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Flesh, amen. Flesh is like all over here. Amen. You can't get to live until you get to heaven. Oh, hallelujah.
Any distractions for messages like this?
You could. We act like God owes us. Remember, guilt says, I owe. Anger says, somebody owes. They hurt me. That pastor, if you don't understand, they took something from me. We got people in the church that feels like people took a ministry from them or took something from them. There's people living with that and living with it for years, that as if somebody took it. Listen, I'll tell you something. Let me say something. I'm gonna say this under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I feel it real strong, Brother Dan, right about now. So nobody can take something you don't give up.
Amen.
Oh.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Bible says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. My Bible says, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Spirit. My Bible says, amen, and you can resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Amen. If God gave it to you, the devil can't get it. I said if God gave it to you, the devil can't get it. But until you release it into his hand. Here's the problem. Too many people are giving it up. Devil don't take anything. He don't have that kind of power. Greater is he that is in you than he that is out there in the world. Greater is he that is in you. Who's in you? Jesus Christ lives in you. And he's greater than Satan. Satan can't take anything from you. Amen. When it comes to those kind of things, what Satan takes is what we relinquish. We've got to understand that enemy in our hearts, anger. To some, it manifests itself in different ways. To some, amen, some people are just walk around angered, and they're mad, and they're frustrated. They're never happy. Some people, it's deeper. It's down deep, and the only time it manifests itself when we're home alone, and we feel angry. We feel like God has let us down, and we feel that loneliness in our lives, and we say, God, how can you do this to me? God, how could you allow this to happen? And we say something close. That person that spoke wrong against me, they owe me. They owe me. They owe me. That person that took my ministry, that person that said what those terrible things about me, that person, they owe me. What a bondage that becomes, church. It's one thing to feel like you owe, it's another to feel like everybody owes you. Number three. And I'm almost done. Number three is greed. I really didn't want to preach on this one, but the Holy Spirit said, you go ahead.
Wait, no.
Number one is anger. Here, stay with me, church. Don't let him lose you. Number one, anger. What does anger say? I owe. Number one is guilt. And guilt says, I owe. Number two is anger. And anger says, you owe me. Somebody owes me. Number three is greed. Luke chapter 12. We read the story of Jesus. Let me just go ahead and give you the message of greed. You know what greed says? Now remember, guilt says, I owe.
That's what Mark will think about what Satan
says. Anger says, somebody owes me. Greed says, I owe it. Greed says, I owe me. I deserve more. Oh, I deserve more than this, Pastor. I deserve more than the struggle I'm going through. I deserve more than the hell I've had to live with. I deserve more, Pastor. I deserve more. And when we don't just translate that to as if you're talking to the pastor, as if you're talking to God, and we say it to God all the time, God, I deserve better than this. I deserve more. The story we read in Luke chapter 12. The Bible says that one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he deny the inheritance with me. He owes me. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over thee? He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I owe it me. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine easy drink and be merry. God said unto him, you fool! This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided or which you've stored up? How many of you know you can't take it with you this morning? I said, how many of you know you can't take it with you this morning? Don't convince me with your answers. I said, how many of you know you can't take it with you this morning? You can't take it with you. Those things, those material things in life that we feel like we have to gain and hoard, we can't take it with us. The Bible says, make it you came into this world and make it will leave it. Amen. I'm going to leave with what I came with. Absolutely. Amen. But I'm leaving a different person than I came. I came lost. I was born in sin, so that's how I came. But I'm leaving, amen. I'm leaving, amen, with eternal life through Jesus Christ. I said greed. Greed says, Greece says, I owe me, I deserve more. But I need the cure. You know, the Bible says, he said, so he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let me give you the cure for greed. The cure for greed, or the remedy, is a generous giving. That's what Jesus said. He said to the disciples, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I say good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. The cure for greed is generous giving. Give. If you give sparingly, you reap sparingly. Amen. The Bible tells us to be a cheerful giver. Give and it shall be given unto you. You give to adjust your lifestyle. I'll never forget several years ago, Sister Renfro and I went through a period of time in our life. She felt led of the Lord. She had a burden to come and teach the children here at Evangel. And she felt that burden. And I'll never forget, we sat down one day. We had this discussion on how we were going to do that on the income levels where they were. And at that time, she was working for an accountant, been working in an accountant firm for a firm for like 25 years and had a lot of tenure, made a lot more money than I did. That could be embarrassing, I guess, if that was what a man's manhood is built on, and whether his wife makes more money than he does or not. Wasn't emasculating at all, just she made more money. I was very grateful that she made money. But we sat down and we had this discussion. And we say, well, how are you going to come and teach at the school when we can only afford, you're only going to be able to make like half or less, maybe a third, of what you made working for that account. Now, how are we going to do this? So we made a three-year plan. And the three-year plan was we were going to adjust our living. Oh, I know this is so foreign to some of you. I know this, well, bless God, you're a preacher, Brother Renfro, and we know you're a man of faith, and you live by faith, and you're just ignorant enough to believe it. That's true. I'm just ignorant enough to believe that God can supply all my needs according to his riches and glory, my grace. Amen. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight anyway. Amen. Well, we just stepped out on faith. 3 years, we made a plan. Amen. And what we did is we started paying off some of our bills. We paid off some of those bills, those credit cards, and other things. And we got our income down to where we felt that we could work on a reduced budget. And so we transitioned, and she came to work and been working for several years here now at the school of teaching. But the point was to say this. It wasn't to brag on myself. I'll tell you, it was a struggle. Amen? It was a struggle. It was a struggle. But I will tell you this. What we did is we adjusted our lifestyle. Now again, I know that's foreign to some of you. That'd be like pulling your toenails with a pair of pliers for some of you. But here's the point. Look at your last 12 months. Look at not too long ago we gave out a contribution report. Did everybody get yours? I hope you did. If you didn't, we have them. So just ask and you shall receive. We'll get them. We have the contribution. Now, this message is not just about, it's about giving, but I'm talking about the enemies of your heart. And one of them is greed. And I'll tell you, greed takes a lot of different forms. But think about your last 12 months giving history. Everybody in this room, think about what you gave in the last 12 months. I'm not asking you to tell me. I'm not asking you to tell anybody else. I'm just asking you to confess before God what you gave in the last 12 months. And the reason I want you to do that is this. Because until you get free, until you get free, that is a bond. And I want to encourage you to launch a new generosity. A new generosity. And here's the challenge. Give one more dollar. Just give one more. Stretch yourself. Give one more. Give two more. But do something more and above what you did in the last go. I'm just saying, you know, you cannot outgive God. The Bible says that we're to be rich toward God. He said, so he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. What does being rich toward God mean, Pastor? It means meeting the needs of other people. Being rich toward God, Jesus said it. He said, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these my brothers, you've done it unto me. That's being rich toward God. Laying up for yourself treasures in heaven is being rich toward God. It's meeting the needs of others. Giving unto God that which is God's. We talk about tithing. We talk about giving. I'm just challenging you. Don't fall prey to greed. Greed says, I owe me. I deserve more. Now, money's not the only thing people agree with. People agree with the tithe. Some people act like you're robbing their life when you take 40 minutes to preach. I've robbed your life. But you'll go home and you'll spend 3 hours watching TV. Ouch. Hey, listen, I'll go home and I'll spend an hour or two watching television tonight, later, just to decompress. De-stress, or whatever I do. I just excuse me, y'all need to just keep them, relaxed. But are you hearing me? I'm talking about grief. Grief says, I deserve that. Grief says, somebody owes me. I owe you. Then lastly, the stand with God. So, let's review. Enemy number one, guilt. What does guilt say? I owe. Oh, there's some people in here. You're living with guilt. I know it. Listen, I'm not naive. I know there's people in this room that you feel guilty over certain things. Number two, anger. What does anger say? You owe me. And you owe me big time. And even God. Because God, you took something that I love. You took it. Listen, who said God took it? I said, who said God took it? You see, just because there are people standing in pulpits saying certain things doesn't mean it's always exactly right. You need to check it out with the Word. Can I tell you, death hates people? Death is an enemy, and death is the last enemy that's going to be defeated. I said death hates people. I've heard people say, well, God took them. I've even thought it myself. Well, I guess it's their time to go. It's their time to go, but death is what took them, not God. You ever think about that? We want to blame God for it. God didn't sin. Adam and Eve sinned. Death passed upon all men because they transgressed. Death was the curse for sin. We want to blame God. We want to blame God for taking it. People say, well, God took them. God took them. Listen, I don't know that God took them. I know death takes people. God redeemed them from the curse, but death took them. God had given them eternal life, but death took them. Because death claims what's his, what is his, flesh. That's where the curse is, right? Death claims what's his, and that's the flesh. But the Bible says that enemy is going to be defeated. Amen? Then it's brought to pass. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the gift of life. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death is the enemy, church, not God. Greed says, I owe him. And then lastly, jealousy. Jealousy is a terrible enemy of the heart. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not against even of your lust that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have. You cannot obtain. You fight war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Here's the message of jealousy. Number 4 is jealousy. Here's the message. God owes you. Down to the point, we basically blame all our inadequacies and the things that we don't get that other people do. We blame it on God. We say life isn't fair. The remedy for jealousy, here it is. Here's the remedy for jealousy. You ever thought about this? You know, we deal with the greed issue. You say, oh, God, I owe me. I deserve this. I deserve this time. I deserve this boat and train and plane. I deserve this big house. I deserve these fine things in life. And not that necessarily you don't. But you see what it does. It builds up a spirit in us. And when we get to the point where we're so focused on what we desire above what the needs around us are, the Bible says, how can a man say he loved God when he shuts up his bowels of compassion for those people who are around him? So greed blinds us to the need. Everybody hear that word? It says greed blinds us to the need. I'm so greedy, I can't see the needy. And so greed says, I owe me. Jealousy says, God owes me. God didn't make this fair. But here's the remedy. You ever think about asking God what He wants you to have? How many believe God knows what's best for us? Come on. No, I want you to be emphatic. I want you to raise your hand and do this. If I, Pastor, I believe God knows what's best for me. I believe God knows what's best. I believe He knows what I need. He knows what's best for me. Now put your hands down. How many of you? Now. We believe God knows what's best. Now my question is, can we say to God, God, instead of me having a spirit that says, you owe me, or I deserve better, what about having this spirit, God? What do you want me to have? That transforms some of our lifestyles. To ask God what He wants us to have. Oh, when we get paid, instead of saying, this is what I'm going to buy, this is what I'm going to get, I'm laying this up for a rainy day, and this is what I'm going to save it for, and I'm going to get me this, and I'm going to get me that, and I'm going here, and I'm going there. I'm not saying those are evil things. I'm just saying that's the way we are.